dais of the drum. Getting a little tired.
Hang in there, John.
Carson Papermont on lead guitar. Jack Hanson.
Jack the car guy on vocals.
Wipeout. Okay, we're back. All right, we promised you a trivia. We're going to do a trivia. Now, we were kicking this around last week off the air, and we had quite a bit of discussion, and it's too bad that you can't hear what we talk about. No, it's probably
good
just
thing.
As well. But
it's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing you can't hear what we talk about. But we were talking about this very thing. So here's the question. Oh, the prize. I've got this is actually a nice prize. It is a weekly schedule planner. It's a rich Corinthian simulated leather bound, and it's actually for 2018. And then I have a vintage, Goodyear with the old logo decal. So it's kind of a cool prize. I wouldn't mind having either one of them. Oh, I do have them, but I'm going to give them away. Anyway, those are the prizes, and I'm sitting here with them in my hand, so you can't pick them up today, but Miss Pam will get them to the studio.
Not that you usually can on Saturdays anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Get them to the studio soon. All right, here it is. Okay, I want to work this so I'm not... Monday. Miss Pam just hollered down the stairs. She will have them there Monday.
Yeah, I think I caught that.
Yeah, okay. All right. All right, here we go. What year did quad headlights become approved in all states? What year did quad headlights become approved in all states?
425-5522 or 888-884-0364, and I think we're starting to get some callers in. And again, Tyler's helping us out with that. We appreciate his assistance this morning. Let's go, I believe, hang on just one second, to line 6. Good morning, you're on Jack the Car Guy.
Yeah, I believe it was in 1957.
No, but thank you for answering. We knew that would be, that's what we were talking about last week. We had a vigorous discussion here. But that's a good answer. It's just not right.
All right. Thanks for trying. Let's go to line 7. Good morning. You're on Jack the Car Guy.
Yes, good morning. 1958.
It was 1958. Is this Dan?
No, this is Ron Kalina.
I was going to say, this sounds like Ron.
Oh, Ron. It was 1958.
Yeah.
In all states.
In all states, yep. That's because the big Chevrolets had that.
Yes. Some, our previous caller was correct that they were authorized in some states in 1957, and there were some manufacturers in 1957 that did, in fact, make model cars that had quad headlights and single headlights, and they shipped them to the states according to the requirements.
Yeah, didn't Chrysler in 57 have a dual headlight?
Chrysler had a dual and a single headlight in 57.
Correct, yeah.
Oh, did Mercury.
Yeah, and Mercury.
Yeah.
And some of those cars are quite rare, and that alone makes them very valuable.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, so, Ron, congratulations. We'll have your prize. I think Pam yelled from upstairs that she'll have it back by here Monday. So
yeah, no problem. I probably won't get there till later in the week anyway.
Okay, no problem.
Thank you. Thanks for calling.
All
thanks
right,
for
bye.
Listening. Yeah, some of those cars, we were talking, like, you know, you think 57 Chevrolet, you know, that was a single on each side. 58 Chevrolet had the great big quads. 57 Cadillac had the single. 58 Cadillacs had the dual. General Motors have always been conservative, and they didn't come out. They said you either have a single when we make it, or you have a double when we make it. They didn't have one of each. But Chrysler was always willing to be different and take a chance. And Carson was showing me some of the ones that had both options, and you would think, man, that'd be ugly to have a fender that's made for two headlights and stick a single, but it wasn't. They had some very nice trim that went around it that made it fit into the housing and look very nice. So you heard it here on Jack the Car Guy. 1958 was the year when quad headlights were approved by all the states. Okay. Oh, I talked about the Rolex 24, and I don't know if I mentioned it. It starts, the start is at 1:30 on Fox, if you want to watch it today, 1:30 our time. And Fernando Alonso, he's going to run it. You remember last year at the Indy 500, he got a lot of publicity because he gave up the Monaco Grand Prix to run the Indy 500. Well, he's decided he's going to run some of these endurance races because it is his goal to win in all three venues. He wants to win an endurance race. He wants to run Le Mans. He wants to win Indy, and he's already done what he wants to in Formula One. So, you know, I say good for him. He's had a successful career. He's got plenty of money. He should do what he wants to do. And people are critical of him. I say, you know, I don't know why they're critical. Well, I do. They're probably jealous. There's more againsters than there are forers in anything. So
isn't that what fuels all racing?
Yeah, pretty money. Money, yeah.
I'll remember that. There are more againsters than there are forers.
That's the truth. It just is. He even mentioned in an interview this week that he'd like to try NASCAR. He said, in a while. he said, and this was an interesting statement. You have a Formula One driver, one of the best in the world, car control, and he said, the reason he's going to do NASCAR last, he said it takes a whole different set of skills, and he would have to learn them all. And I think he doesn't want to go into that mode and then have to go back to finesse. I mean, not that NASCAR's not. It takes a bunch of skill to run one of those NASCAR cars, but it takes a different skill to run a Formula One.
So it's not like I always thought, when you're getting ready to retire, you run NASCAR?
No, when you get ready to make some money, you run NASCAR. Of course, Formula One doesn't do too bad.
Yeah,
it pays pretty well, but just the top guys. So anyway, he said he wants to give it a try, and the car guy predicts that before he retires, he will be in a NASCAR car and probably do very well. Poor old Ford. I don't know if you keep up with it or not, but that Focus, the step up from the Econobox Ford Focus, they have really sporty Focus. And they've had a little bit of trouble with head gasket, with the cars blowing white smoke, making steam. And it's been on all the forums, all the gossips, all the hate places that Ford doesn't know what they did. Well, they do know what they did. And they've come out with a statement. It's not an answer, but it's a solution to the problem. They said, if you own one of the Ford Focuses and it has the symptoms, take it to your dealer regardless of warranty or mileage. Ford will test it and replace and repair whatever is necessary for free, up to including a new head, head gaskets, or whatever it takes. So you can't, I don't know how you can do any better than that. They know what they did wrong, but they don't want to admit it, and I wouldn't either. It was an engineering problem in the cooling. And
so they obviously have learned from the transmission problems.
They have learned that it's not good to deny it or hide it, and I can't see how they could do any better. Everybody's crying cover up. I say get a job. It's their company. They can do what they want. They are doing the right thing. How can they make it any better? They say they're going to fix it for anybody that comes in there with a car. You don't even have to have bought it new, and they will fix it regardless of miles or warranty. So give them a break, Get a job. These people, it's got nothing else to do but get on social media and complain about stuff. Okay, well, why don't we take our last break while I calm down here. I'm about to get agitated, Matt.
As opposed to getting on the airwaves and complaining about stuff?
All right. Let's take a break, buddy.
All right.
You're killing me, Holmes.
All right. We will be back with more in just a moment. It is 18 before 9. You're listening to Jack the Car Guy on KTLO.
It's all over today. The best furniture clearance sale of the year comes to an end. Butler Furniture has moved all clearance items to the showroom for immediate sale. Literally hundreds of items have been drastically reduced for the final day of this clearance event. With free layaway or special no-interest financing for 18 full months, it's a sale you don't want to miss. These clearance sale tags come off today at 5. So shop the final day of the January clearance sale today at Butler Furniture, Highway 5 North, past Hospital Drive in Mountain Home.
Carwayne's Nursery's landscape crew is hitting the town. Call for your free landscape estimate. That's 425-6966. Carwayne's landscape crew won't disappoint. With 36 years of experience, you can trust not only that the design and install will be great, but the service will be impressive. Call for your free landscape estimate, 425-6966 today. Carwayne's Nursery can fit any budget. Be sure to check out our before and after photos on Facebook and call for your free landscape estimate, 425-6966.
Let Bookworms Cafe at the Library cater your next event. Big or small, Bookworms Cafe at the Library has you covered with breakfast, lunch, and dinner catering. Download the catering menu at bookwormscafe.com. From starters to soups and salads, sandwich trays, desserts, we can take the hassle out of your next lunch, social event, or everything in between. Need something you don't see on the menu? Just ask if it can be added. Bookworms Cafe at the Library Catering. Delivery and setup available. Get all your catering questions answered at bookwormscafe.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
the 60th Grammys, live from New York, Sunday, January 28th. 60 years of music that changed the world. 60 years of the best performances ever.
The Grammy Awards.
Tune in to see Childish Gambino, Lady Gaga, Little Big Town, Pink, and many more.
Make some noise!
Hosted by James Corden in New York, Sunday, January 28th, CBS. Long live music.
Music's biggest night.
Absolute Vodka, official spirits partner of the 60th Grammys.
GEICO presents eyewitness interviews with inanimate objects.
This is Brian Bruno live on the scene of a recently flooded basement. Here to describe the event, a tube sock.
So I'm curled up in a cozy pile of whites when the washing machine suddenly starts shimmying and shaking. Next thing I know, we're standing in 4 inches of water.
Did you help clean up?
Sure, but I'm just one sock.
A tube sock can't help you with a flooded basement, but the GEICO Insurance Agency can help you get covered for personal property damage. Call GEICO to see how affordable homeowners insurance can be.
I love the colorful clothes she wears and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle wind on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm backing up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
Good vibrations.
She's giving me the excitations.
softly smile, I know she must be kind.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
Segment here. Takeaway from the big January car auctions. We've got our big one coming up in Branson, but they had the really, really big ones in Arizona. And I've got some takeaways from those for everybody. The sales totals were down. The gross sales were down. And naysayers are saying that the bottom has fallen out of the collector car market. Woe is us. We in trouble. I don't think so. If I tried to get a bunch of the figures together and look at them, what actually happened? Mega cars, mega dollar cars, didn't sell as much. Those take a lot of hype. They take a very special person. Specific collector, and they generate all the hype. There wasn't a lot of those. There was a few. There were some of them sold for big, big money. But the sales, there were lots of sales. What I was seeing was, there was, like, one comes to mind, just to tell you that the money is still there, that Tucker, they sold his personal Tucker out of the collection, and it brought $1.8 million. That's a lot of money for a Tucker, because it doesn't have a renowned racing history. It wasn't a real refined car. It was a historical piece, and it was his car, and it's one of one of one of one. So I see the money. But anyway, that sold for a lot of money, but it seemed to me cars in the $40,000 and down, everyone that rolled across the block, there was lots of action, and they sold. Lots of action on 40,000 and down. So, and when you think about what us and the people that listen to us, the regular common people, real car people, not just people with tons of money that are collectors buy. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for a cool car that we can afford and enjoy.
A lot of the big collections are being sold.
A lot of the big collections are being broken up and sold off.
That's kind of...
Because you know why? You know what I think? I think a lot of those cars, people that put those big collections together, were the same people that put big Rembrandt collections together and big Remington collections together. It was a thing. It was a thing to have and bring your friends and show. They weren't true car people.
They were money people.
And we all know it. You own 2, 3, 4, 5 cars, the maintenance becomes a hassle.
Oh, yeah.
If you own 100, you know.
Yep. No, that's right. Well, I've got some more to say about that, but I think we've got a call, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Well, let's go ahead and take that, and then I'll just finish up my thought on this when we come back.
All right, let's go to line 6. Good morning. You're on Jack the Car Guy.
Good morning, Jack. I just had a comment. You mentioned the race coming up, the Rolex 24 race in Florida.
Yes.
I just happened to be on a Delta flight, so I think it was back in about somewhere between 98 and 2000. A racing team had just won the Rolex 24. Let me turn down the volume here so we don't get some feedback. they were on board my flight, and Delta flew them from Atlanta to Seattle. It was a Seattle-based racing team. And they handed out some hats, ball caps, with the name of the team. I've forgotten the name of it, but I still have around here that one of those caps they handed out free in celebration of winning the Rolex 24. So I just thought I'd mention that.
They gave them out to everybody on the plane?
Some of the people. They didn't have that enough for everybody, but some people got them, and I was one of the fortunate few that got one.
Well, that's cool. You know, that is nice to share your joy. Everybody likes to be a part of a winner. And what year did you say it was?
I think it was 2000 or maybe 99 or 98, possibly. I'm thinking 2000.
And you say that they were based out of?
They won the Rolex 24. The entire team was on board the aircraft, and Della flew them back to Seattle, and they were really excited. I think the prize was $1 million or maybe slightly more than $1 million.
I'm trying to think who was winning races in that year.
Yeah.
I'm sure somebody will call and tell us, who's it? Who are you?
All right. So anyway, I just thought I'd mention that, Jack.
Okay, what's your name?
George the Airplane Guy.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thanks for calling, George the Airplane Guy.
Okay,
I saw a cool...
Bye.
That same... I know George is hung up, but I know he's still listening. That same guy that had that Triumph that hosted that fundraiser out there, he's about my age, and he is building a wooden plane himself, a vintage plane from the 30s, and it looked like a giant balsa wood kit plane, and it's going to be covered with fabric. And there are some clever people around this area, clever people. All right, so I was talking about... collector cars, and where I'm thinking is that the market's going is 40,000 and down. There were lots. There actually, if you want to look around, if you want to look on the internet, and even at that auction in the early, if you want to see where the real people that love cars, what they're willing to pay for a car, you look at those auctions when they start running them on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Those are the lesser priced cars, maybe not perfect, but good, fun cars, and you could get things for $10,000. You know, there'd be a lot of cool 50s cruisers, even up to the 80s. It hurt to say that. But like some of the sports cars from the 80s, they're being collectible, and they're moving. They're selling. And Japanese cars, they're hot now, too.
Well, I've been talking to some young people, and they like the big cruisers.
Oh, they do. It's coming back, and that's encouraging.
And stuff.
I like that.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, you don't drive cars like this anymore.
No, they don't exist anymore.
Everything is a sports sedan, and you know.
Yeah, everything's a four-door. Anyway. Okay, if I have a word for you, if the car guy would have a word for a potential collector or a potential buyer, buy the very best that you can afford of something you like. The very best of something you like. It doesn't matter if anybody else likes it. There are people that like gremlins. There's people that like Matadors.
Corvairs.
Corvairs.
Oh, yeah, I met him once.
Yeah. Just buy the best you can, the best you can afford, because don't try to buy a junker and make it the best. Mm-hmm. It will eat you alive.
And drive it.
And drive it. And drive it.
Yeah.
I know I'm about to run out of time, but I want to...
You still got about 4.5 minutes for the top of the hour. So.
Oh, okay. Well, what got me thinking about it was I started reading a tractor magazine. Yes, I read a lot of different stuff. And I was reading this tractor magazine, and it was telling about the history of the Ford tractor, the Fordson, and then the Ford ADN and the tractors that Ford built. And I think Musk must be a follower of Henry Ford. He may be Henry reincarnated. I don't know. You know, maybe they're relatives. Because, listen to this. This wind was in 19... 16. Henry Ford came out. He was just, he didn't have a tractor. He was working on a tractor. And Henry said, he pushed this. He had all of his dealerships push it. Coming soon, Ford tractor package. You buy a Ford tractor, I will give you a car and a Ford truck, all of it for $600. So people would start thinking, now he didn't have a tractor. Well, people start rushing to the dealerships. You know, and they got down there and they said, well, yeah, it's coming, we're developing it. And while they were there, people bought a car and bought a truck, just anticipation. He didn't even have a tractor. He never did make that package available. $600 for the, that's when the Model T was selling for like 3.5 and the truck was like 4. What was he going to do, give the tractor away for extra?
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
Tell you to take it.
That sounds like Musk to me. Anyway, he went on, Henry did, to be very successful with his tractor, sold more tractors than anybody in the world at one period, and then International surpassed him, of course. And you know what he did? He never did set up Ford tractor dealerships. He never did set up Ford agriculture. He sold those Ford tractors through Ford dealerships. He already had them in place. If you want to buy a Ford tractor, you go down to your Ford dealer and you look at that car while you're there.
Pick up a tractor.
And get your tractor. He's a smart man. By the way, when old Henry Ford got his got the former Fordson tractor going, he had a little trouble with it flipping over backwards. And he just, well, you know, they were very light in the front. They had those old metal cleat wheels on the back, and they would put a plow behind them. Those things would rear up and flip over. His answer were to make big, strong fenders, like roll bar or like wheelie bars. They'd jump up on them fenders and drop back down. Henry's my kind of guy. Oh, Tesla, before I run out of time. There had another one run into the back of a fire truck on a Los Angeles freeway. A stopped, huge, red flashing lights, woo, 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 fire truck. It ran into it. It was supposed to have been on autopilot. What was the fool that was sitting in the driver's seat doing?
Right.
You know, really. They're blaming it on the autopilot. You know I don't like auto. Somebody has to take some responsibility. Did you not see that big truck looming in the front?
He's busy texting, probably.
Yeah, he's busy texting. Well, anyway, they ran one into the back of one. Now they're investigating it. They're thinking perhaps there may have been substances involved. You know what I mean? Substance.
I heard he hit his fire truck doing 65 miles an hour. That was a wake-up call.
Yeah, yeah, and
well,
didn't kill him.
A lot of smoke.
Didn't kill him. All right, well, thank you for listening. We'll be back next week and get closer and closer to the Daytona 500.
All right, Jack, we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks.
Stay tuned for Bids for Bargains coming up next.
Well, this is the inside story, and I'm here to say I was a kid that was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor and it's really souped up, and that Model A body makes it look like a pub. It's got 12 cylinders, uses them all with an overdrive that just won't stall. It's got a four-barrel carb and dual exhaust,
KTLO FM 97.9 in Mountain Home. On air, online.